I missed you too, sweetheart. She rested her head on his chest and curled up like a giant lap dog. His brothers were always giving him shit about allowing Tinkerbell to sit on his lap, but he didn't give a fuck if she grew to be 120 pounds. He'd happily love her up. There weren't many things that made Bullet truly happy, but Kennedy, Lincoln, and that 80-pound pup always put a smile on his face. Finding Tinkerbell had changed his life for the better, and he only hoped he made her life just as good. He'd been up late one night when insomnia had dug its nasty nails in deep and refused to let go. He got in his truck and got stuck behind a beat-up black Cadillac on his way out of town, when the car slowed and tossed a load of garbage into the road. Pissed off and worried someone might get into an accident, he'd pulled over to clear the debris. He'd never forget the sick feeling that had consumed him when he'd lifted the garbage bag and felt something move. He'd found the rail-thin pup inside. He'd torn every fucking trash bag open to make sure there were no other animals, and then he'd taken the Rottie straight to his buddy, Marty Paws Miller, a veterinarian who was also a Dark Knight. The first few days were rough, with Tink puking up her food nearly every time she ate, out of nerves or because her stomach was just not used to food, he wasn't sure. But she'd soon acclimated, and she'd been Bullet's companion ever since. Neither of them could sleep without the other. Tinkerbell had become so attuned to Bullet that on the rare occasions when the nightmares he'd experienced after first returning to civilian life claimed him, she'd wake him before they pulled him too far under. To this day, he kept his eyes peeled for a black Cadillac with a big-ass dent in the right rear fender. God help the owner if he ever caught him, because while there were many things Bullet wouldn't put up with, hurting children, women, or animals topped the list. He stroked Tinkerbell's back and reached for his beer. There had been a time when Bullet was a big drinker, but that, along with everything else in his life, had changed when he was in the military. Now he had an occasional beer, but for the most part he liked to remain sober just in case someone fucked up and needed his help. But it had been a long night, made longer by a stroke of unexpected jealousy that gnawed at his gut. Tonight he wanted to try to drown out thoughts of Finley Wilson. As he lifted the bottle to his lips, his phone rang. God damn it. He remembered that Finley had his number, and a spear of ridiculously embarrassing hope rang through him. Tinkerbell lifted her head as he dug his phone out of his pocket and glanced at the screen. Bear. He set the bottle back on the table and put the phone to his ear.
Hey, B, what's up?
You at home?
Yeah.
Drinking? He glanced at the open and untouched beer.
Not yet.
I need a favor. Crystal was out with the girls and she was the designated driver. She got sick and I had to go pick her up.
Where are they?
He gently nudged Tinkerbell off his lap and rose to his feet.
Whispers?
Oh, fuck, seriously? Was Dixie with her? He hated that place. Unfortunately, Dixie liked going there for exactly that reason.
Yep. I'm on my way.
He patted his leg and headed for his truck with Tinkerbell trotting beside him.
How's your girl?
Not well, but I've got her. She thinks she ate bad nachos, but if she's not well in the morning, I'll call Bones and have him check her out.
You need anything while I'm out?
No, we're good. Thanks, Bullet. Take your extended cab. You'll need the space. With Tinkerbell on the passenger seat, Bullet drove down the rural road and pulled onto the main strip. Picking up the girls was no big deal, even if he had to drag his ass out of the house after working a 14-hour shift. He'd spent his later teen years driving drunk customers home from the bar. That was when his father had still run the place, before his stroke. Before Bullet had enlisted and entered the special forces. Before he'd seen too many men take their last breaths. Before he'd found out that he wasn't invincible. Before PTSD. He rolled down the window as he cruised toward the nightclub. The cool air helped clear his head. He reached across the seat and petted Tinkerbell, glad for the company. When he pulled into the Whispers parking lot, he spotted Crystal's car and made a mental note to pick it up with Bear if Crystal was still sick tomorrow.
Poor girl.
He added one more item to the list of things that made him smile. The way his family took care of each other. They always had each other's backs. Knowing his family was safe, that might just take the cake. Thinking of Cake, his mind turned to Finley. She was a sugar rush, if ever there was one. He felt himself smiling, and just as quickly that smile faded. Where the fuck was she tonight? He threw the truck into park and patted Tinkerbell's head.
I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go for a drive.
He cracked the windows, locked up, and headed inside to collect his sister and whoever else was wasting their night in this douchebag place. Bullet strode into the dimly lit, testosterone-laden bar. The heat was almost as oppressive as the aura of yuppiness. He was a good head taller than the crowd, making it easy to scan his surroundings. A sea of sexed-up women danced with two pretty men, sporting manicured eyebrows and buttoned-up shirts. The guys were probably hoping for a fuck, the girls dreaming of their frogs turning into princes, complete with a diamond ring and a white picket fence. Bullet knew he was a menacing force, and he was used to crowds parting for him, as they were now, eyeing him up as if he might pound the hell out of someone for no damn reason. Idiots. Goddamn kids, living their safe little lives, afraid to step outside of the harbor and experience the harsh real world. Fucking Dixie. Why did she get off on this shit? His gaze locked on her red hair, and he plowed through the crowd. She was dancing with Gemma and John Butterscotch, the doctor dude who came into the bar with Bones sometimes. Bullet lifted his chin in greeting. John was a good guy, but not for Dixie. She didn't need a stuffed shirt who drove fancy cars. Bullet grabbed Dixie's arm.
Let's go.
Dixie spun around with fire in her eyes, grabbed his wrist the way he'd taught her, and twisted out of his grip. The anger in her bloodshot eyes morphed to irritation when she realized it was him who had grabbed her. "What are you doing here?" She continued swaying to the music, or maybe she was swaying because of how much she'd had to drink. Bullet couldn't be sure. The music blared so loud he had to raise his voice to be sure she heard him.
"Driving your drunk ass home. Let's go."
"I can take her,"
John offered, his gaze sliding to Dixie.
"Over my dead body."
"That's okay, I've got her."
"I'll grab an Uber," Dixie insisted.
"My ass you will."
"Bullet!"
Gemma clapped her hands. "Are you here to dance?"
Jesus fuck, they were both blasted.
"No, sweetheart, I'm taking you home to True."
"Oh, okay, thanks. I miss him. And my babies. I should be home with my babies."
Gemma craned her neck, looking around the dance floor.
"We need to find Finley and Penny," she hollered. "There's Finn with that guy."
Like a scope on a rifle, he zeroed in on Finley's blonde hair, her slinky little body dancing too damn close to some prick. Bullet glared at the guy as he closed the distance between them, drawing the weasel's attention. The guy stumbled back, putting space between him and Finley, as Bullet's arms swept around her waist.
"Come on, Lollipop. Time to go."
"Bullet? What are you doing here?"
she yelled, pointing to her ear.
"I can't hear you."
He bent to speak into her ear, and she threw her arms around his neck and said,
"Dance with me."
"Christ, you're plastered too. So much for Shirley Temple's."
"We're leaving."
He took a step, and she squirmed from his grip.
"I'm not leaving. I'm dancing."
She reached for the guy she'd been dancing with, and Bullet gave him a dark look. The guy held his hands up and disappeared into the crowd.
"You scared him away. Now you have to dance with me."
She plastered herself against him, and he caught Penny's sleeve as she stumbled past, yanking her against his side and holding on tight as he pried Finley's delicate arms from around his waist. He hauled her against his other side and demanded,
"Gemma, Dixie. Front door, now!"
Groaning, arms flailing, Dixie traipsed ahead of him while Gemma hummed with a smile on her lips.
"I don't want to leave," Finley pleaded.
Bullet glanced at Penny, who said,
"She doesn't get out much."
Ignoring Dixie's pouts and Finley's struggles, he managed to get them to the front door. He pushed it open, and Finley spun around, heading into the bar. He grabbed the back of her dress and pulled her against him.
"Not happening, Lollipop. You're too drunk."
"I am not drunk," she said, leaning against him. "Right, Pen? I can hold my liquor."
Her eyes bloomed wide as he led the stumbling, swaying lot of them toward his truck.
I can hold my booze, my bar liquid, my... I don't want to go home.
Penny laughed and buried her face in Bullet's side.
I can't believe we have to be escorted home by a whiskey.
More like taken against our will, Dixie said as she tilted, grabbing Gemma's shoulder to steady herself.
Bullet grabbed a hold of the back of Finley's dress again to keep her from running off, holding on tight as he unlocked and opened the truck door. She came face to face with Tinkerbell and screamed. All at once, Penny squealed, Tinkerbell barked, Gemma turned and puked, and Finley scrambled behind Bullet, clinging to his hips, her face pressing into his leather vest.
Christ!
Dixie stood by the truck, arms crossed, taking it all in with an amused smile.
Get in, Dix. Tink, back, floor, he commanded, and Tinkerbell jumped into the back seat and lay down on the floor.
He turned to Gemma and helped her upright, searching her face. She had the relieved look of someone who had spewed poison from their body. A good sign.
You okay, sweetheart?
Gemma nodded. Bullet swept an arm behind him and pulled Finley around to his front. Her face remained buried in his leather vest. She clung to him, eyes slammed shut.
At least she wasn't running. I've got you, Lollipop.
She whimpered.
She's afraid of dogs, Penny explained.
You afraid of dogs, too?
He asked Penny. She shook her head.
Great, you and Dix in the back with Tinkerbell.
Finley laughed against his stomach.
Tinkerbell! Big bad Brutus has a dog named Tinkerbell!
He cursed under his breath. Dixie stomped around to the other side and climbed in as Bullet peeled Finley from his body and helped her into the front seat.
Slide all the way over.
You just want me next to you,
Finley snapped as she scooted across the bench seat.
He wasn't going to touch that one with a 10-foot pole.
He reached for Gemma and helped her in, taking an extra second to be sure she was okay. Truman, Gemma, and their babies might not be blood relatives to Bullet, but he considered them family. And since the girls had obviously taken Finley into the fold, she was too, which meant Bullet would take care of her from here on out, regardless of whether or not she ever gave him a second look. Because that's how the whiskeys rolled. Love, loyalty, and respect for all wasn't just the Dark Knight's creed. It was how they lived their lives. And when you entered the whiskeys circle, you became family.
Buckle up, girls.
They were all within reach. Safe. Bullet exhaled with relief.
Let's get you home.
She's got a fancy pink collar, Finn, Penny said as she loved up Tinkerbell. Oh, look how cute.
Finley covered her face, doubled over in laughter.
Tinkerbell.
Bullet pulled the seatbelt across Finley's lap. She spread her fingers, peeking out at him, and whispered,
Sorry. It's a good name.
Laughter swallowed her voice. Bullet spent the next hour driving Gemma, Penny, and Dixie home and walking them to their doors, all the while Finley gave a play-by-play of their evening. He gritted his teeth through descriptions of enough guys to gag a man. After dropping off Dixie, who hugged and thanked him despite all her bitching, he climbed back into the truck. Finley rested her head on his shoulder with a long, drawn-out sigh.
You're like... a hero.
Far from it. Where's your place, Lollipop?
Lolly.
She snort laughed and started singing a song about lollipops he hadn't heard since he was a kid. Even drunk off her ass, she was too fucking cute. He scrubbed a hand over his face but couldn't suppress his smile.
Finn's, where do you live?
His kiss is sweeter than a cherry pie, and he's shaking, rocking, dancing, plopping.
I don't know that song, but I'm pretty sure you've got the words wrong. Come on, let's get you home.
She continued singing a drunken rendition of the lollipop song, only now she was shaking her shoulders and waving her hands.
Oh, lolly, lolly, body, body, candy, stick.
Christ,
he muttered as he drove onto the main drag.
Where to, Finns?
Whispers,
she said far too cheerily, then sang,
Lolly, lolly, pop!
Not a chance.
No, I mean head over there. That's near where I live.
She sat up straighter, pressed her knees together, and folded her hands in her lap. He realized she was trying to rein in the carefree woman she'd unleashed. Some people needed alcohol to get a stick out of their ass, and some needed it to escape life. He knew Finley didn't need it for the first, and he had a feeling she loved her life as it was, which made him wonder what she was trying to escape.
How often do you drink like this?
Never,
she said happily and began humming.
Why'd you drink so much tonight?
I'm not drunk, she insisted, and began bobbing her head as she hummed.
Don't stop singing on my account, he said, earning one of her effervescent smiles.
She sang and hummed, and sang some more, until she collapsed with another long sigh against him.
She smelled like warm vanilla and sugar, like freshly baked cookies, and damn, would he like to eat her up?
Her body melted against his side, which he liked way more than he probably should, considering she might not remember it in the morning. Her hand fell to his thigh, and she sang,
"Thick thighs, cherry pies,"
as whispers came into view. "Turn right at the next light." He tried not to make too much out of her hand on his thigh, but his body had other ideas. As he turned down the road and drove toward a residential area, he said,
"You live across the street from the bar?
Why didn't you tell me before I drove you all around town?"
She grinned up at him and squeezed his thigh, which sent heat straight to his groin.
"And miss all the fun? Besides, we needed this time alone."
Yeah, they needed time alone, all right, but not with her 10 sheets to the wind.
She traced the tattoos on his forearm, whisper singing, "Call me baby pop, lollipop, lollipop." She hummed as she directed him down 2 more streets to a quiet, residential cul-de-sac.
"I'm renting the one at the end. Why are you so gruff all the time when everyone else thinks you're a hero?"
she asked out of the blue.
He cut the engine and wondered who had been filling her head with bullshit. "I told you I'm no one's hero."
He unhooked her seatbelt. She curled her fingers around his forearm, gazing hungrily into his eyes. Her hair was tousled and her cheeks were flushed. He wished he'd been the cause of those things. It took all his restraint not to lean forward and kiss her.
Tinkerbell's head popped up behind the seat, and she barked, startling Finley into Bullet's arms. If this was how she reacted to dogs, maybe they'd take a stroll through the pound.
"Lie down, Tink."
"Thank you,"
she whispered, as if talking alone might call Tinkerbell into the front seat.
"You didn't answer me," she said quietly, looking temptingly innocent.
Her hand moved up and down his forearm, slow and painfully soft.
"Why are you so gruff?"
He wasn't used to women like her, all pure and honest. She made him want to talk, and the feeling was so foreign, he forced himself to climb out of the truck rather than contemplate it. She scooted over to the door, her frilly dress bunched around her thighs. A tiny gold heart hung around her neck on a sparkling chain, and she had a sad look in her eyes that nearly dropped him to his knees.
"Talk to me," she pleaded. "You can't hide behind all that bigness forever."
"Wanna bet? How about we get you inside?"
He helped her to her feet, steadying her as she swayed, and then grabbed her purse from the seat. He peered into the back and said,
"Hold down the fort, Tink. I'll be back."
As he cracked the window for Tinkerbell, he took in the incredibly small house. The covered porch was barely wider than the front door. A small picture window overlooked an even smaller garden, and a single window was centered in the gable. It looked more like a dollhouse than a residence.
"You remind me of that guy in that show,"
she said as they walked up a narrow walkway.
"The big guy, the one everyone hated."
He put an arm around her to keep her from tipping backward as they ascended the porch steps. He had no idea what show she was talking about, but he had a feeling neither did she. He held up her purse and she dug out her keys. When she dangled them in front of her eyes like they'd magically appeared, he took them from her and unlocked the door. She leaned against the wall, fidgeting with the little bow at her waist.
Why do you open doors and help drunk girls? It doesn't really go with your bad boy image.
She pushed from the wall, swaying forward. He caught her before she could fall and lifted her into his arms, reveling in her softness and her heavenly scent. It had been too long since he'd gotten laid, and his dick instantly rose to the occasion.
Whoa!
She wrapped her arms around his neck and rested her cheek against him. Your chest is so hard. He bit his tongue against a filthy retort and carried her inside, closing the door softly behind him. His gaze swept over the room, taking in the white shag rug, a beige sofa and love seat, fluffy pink, purple, and flowered pillows, and a host of neatly stacked notebooks and a giant calendar atop a glass coffee table. Across the room, a round kitchen table littered with ledgers, colorful sticky notes, a cup full of pens, and several cookbooks sat in front of a set of glass doors. The walls were decorated with photographs of Finley, Penny, and he assumed their parents, intermixed with happy and inspirational sayings like, "Make today beautiful," and "Believe you can and you will." He headed for the couch, and she pointed down the hall. "Bedroom, please." Clenching his jaw, he hesitated. Finley Wilson's bedroom, the place he'd been fantasizing about since he'd met her at Truman's wedding. He'd fantasized about the feminine beauty having a dark side that came out in the bedroom. He'd also fantasized about taking her in a soft, frilly bed that was all Finley. She leaned up and ran her finger over his beard as she whispered, "Bedroom, Brutus." Brutus? Why did that make him even hotter? Against his better judgment, he carried her down the hall. Her hand slid down his neck, playing over the skin just above the collar of his T-shirt. "Why did you get a snake tattoo? What else do you have tattooed on you?" She tugged at his neckline, peered beneath his shirt, and gasped, "Chest hair. I love chest hair." Her hand dove down the front of his shirt, grazing his nipple. "Christ!" She wrecked him. "Male models don't even have chest hair anymore." Her fingers moved along his pecs. "I bet they shave everywhere." She leaned up again as he crossed the threshold to her bedroom and whispered, "I bet you don't shave anywhere." He tried to quell his mounting desire, but it came out in the form of a groan. Her bedroom looked just as soft and innocent as she did. Floral-patterned pillows rested against a tufted white headboard, and cutesy knick-knacks in light colors filled the room. She peeked down his shirt again. "I see ink. What is it? Show me." He set her on the edge of the bed, and she grabbed the hem of his shirt and pulled him so close he could taste her sweet breath. "Finley," he warned. "Brutus," she said with a giggle and pushed his shirt up. The feel of her warm hands on his stomach sent heat streaming through his veins. He grabbed her wrists and shook his head. "The guy in that movie had tattoos, too. You could be him, you know. You're big and burly, and I bet you're good at being naked like he was." She covered her mouth and whispered, "Oops, did I say naked?" He cocked a brow. "I meant naked." "Fuck." Hearing her alluring voice say that word made him hard as stone. "Finley, stop. You're drunk, and I don't want you to regret anything tomorrow." She glared at him. "For your information, I'm not drunk." "Are you sober?" he asked. She leaned forward, and the neckline of her dress shifted, giving him an eyeful of her gorgeous breasts straining against pink lace. She pressed her lips together. "No. But I'm not drunk. I'm tipsy." "Right. We'll see if you remember any of this tomorrow." She pushed to her feet, using his hip to steady herself, and said, "You think I don't know what I'm saying? Well, guess what, Brutus?" She accentuated her words, which flew from her mouth at breakneck speed, by poking him in the sternum. "I know exactly what I'm saying. I wanted to drink too much tonight so I could stop thinking about you and your dirty talk. I want to see you without your shirt on. I want to see your tattoos because I want to know why you have them and what they mean and how you got them with chest hair. Did they shave it?
I do think you look like that actor, Jason Mammoth, or whatever his stinking name is, and I know I want to see you naked.
A slow smile crept across his lips. Finley slapped her hand over her mouth, eyes wide.
I think you'd better go,
she said from behind her hand as she lowered herself to the bed.
Sure you're okay?
She nodded.
For the record,
she closed her eyes and held up her hand, silencing him.
I want to see you naked too,
he said honestly. Her eyes popped open, her cheeks flamed red, and her jaw gaped again. He used his index finger to lift her chin so her mouth closed. Thrusting a thumb over his shoulder, he said,
I'm going. Lock up after I leave.
Chuckling, he headed out to his car. For the first time in years, he couldn't wait to go to work the next day.
Chapter 4 I'm going to slaughter you, Finley said to Penny over the phone the next afternoon as she stood by the kitchen counter, cracking eggs into a bowl.
Why? You needed to cut loose, and it's not like you got into any trouble.
Oh, no? She began beating the eggs. What would you call telling Bullet Whiskey that I wanted to see him naked? You know I can't hold my liquor. You're my sister. You should stop me from doing bad things.
Then you've got the wrong sister. Because I was thrilled that you finally had some fun, Finn. You haven't gone out and had any fun since you lost Aaron.
Finley added more ingredients to the bowl and beat them as hard and fast as she could. She did not want to think about Aaron, or how long it had been since she'd been interested in a man. She'd finally gotten some perspective on Aaron's death, and talking about the fact that she hadn't dated much since she'd lost him wouldn't change it. She only wanted to figure out how to walk into Whiskey Bros today and look Bullet in the eye, without feeling like she was standing there buck naked now that she'd revealed her innermost thoughts.
"You're baking," Penny said.
"Of course I'm baking. Didn't you hear me? I told Bullet I wanted to see him naked, and I knew I was saying it when it came out. It wasn't like I was too drunk to think straight. I was just drunk enough to think straight and tell the truth."
She had always turned to cooking when she was emotional. When she'd lost Aaron, she'd come up with 5 new recipes in 1 weekend, and when they'd lost their father, she'd baked enough desserts for 3 homeless shelters in the first 5 days. It was a wonder she didn't weigh 300 pounds.
Penny laughed. "Aren't you the one who preaches honesty?"
"Yes, but I'm working for his family, and he's the kind of guy who probably sleeps with women like other guys eat chips. And you know I am not that kind of girl."
"Maybe not, but how do you know he's like that? I'm so glad you moved home, by the way. You really have been out of the real world for too long.
There's more to life than just work, Finn. And besides, be careful what you say. Maybe I'm one of those girls. I'm no saint."
"I'm sorry."
Finley set the bowl aside and sank down to a chair at the table. She knew Penny wasn't the kind of girl who slept with lots of guys, but her sister did have a more active sex life than she did. Then again, didn't most socially active 20-something women?
"Finn, it's been years since he lost Aaron. Why can't you explore a little?"
"I did explore, remember? Last year?"
The last time she'd had sex was at the end of last year, and it hadn't gone well. She hadn't felt any pleasure, and definitely not the type of connection she should have. That experience had been the catalyst to her decision to move back home. Even with Isabel's friendship, she'd been lonely. If she wasn't whole enough to love a man, then she could at least be near her sister, who loved her unconditionally.
"I know, but one bad experience does not mean that you won't find a connection with someone else. Listen, Finn, I've had more sex than you have, and I'm 4 years younger than you. Maybe you should admit to remembering everything. Tell Bullet the truth, that you think about sleeping with him. Go out with him. Heck, sleep with him if you want to. This is your life and your body, and no one is going to judge you, if that's what you're worried about."
"I'm not worried anyone will judge me. I can't tell him that. I don't even know if I want to sleep with him. I just know that he makes me confused and hot. Definitely hot. But that doesn't mean I need to jump his bones."
"Then you could lie and say it was a minor lapse in judgment due to alcohol consumption. Or just act like you don't remember anything from last night. He'll probably believe that. And don't be embarrassed, which I know you will be. It's not like he knows you well enough to realize that the sight he saw last night has been kept under lock and key for years.
Ugh, why does everything sound so easy when you say it?
Because it is. You have choices. Lie or be honest. I personally think you should take a ride on the bullet train and then figure it out. What do you have to lose?
Only my mind.
I can't believe my baby sister is telling me to sleep with a biker. Hey, you're the one who wants to get naked with him. I'm just being supportive. Besides, I like the whiskies. I'd date one of them in a second.
How are we even sisters?
Finley laughed. You jump into things with your eyes closed, and I have no idea what I want. All I know for sure is that he's got this way of looking at me, and it makes me nervous. But the good kind of nervous, you know? With Aaron I felt sparks, but this is like lightning, and I don't understand it or know what to make of it. He's everything I never wanted. You know me. Clean-cut guys all the way. But I haven't been able to stop thinking about him since I saw him at True and Gemma's wedding with their kids when he made that ridiculous pass at me, remember?
I'll never forget that one. Heck, I want you to sleep with him just so I know if he really is a bullet train.
They both laughed. Listen, Penny said, in that I-have-all-the-answers little sister voice that Finley knew so well. You're curious because he's tough and confident and strong. He's everything you are.
What? Have you lost your mind? I'm none of those things. I'm like a flower and he's a lawnmower.
You're so wrong. You're one of the strongest women I know. When we lost Dad, you were my rock. And now you're here. Do you know how much courage it takes to pick up your life and start over? Do you know how much courage it takes to open your own ice cream store with your inheritance and have no idea if you'll sink or swim?
See?
Penny said. We are definitely sisters, 'cause you're doing the same thing with your catering company. Will you bring me some of whatever you're making?
Sure, they're cookies. I'm going to spend the morning choosing new appliances for the bar, and this time when I go there, I'm not going to run like a scared kitten into the kitchen. I'm going to pretend the customers are my catering clients, and put myself at ease. In other words, you're going to distract them from your blonde hair, blue-eyed, goody-two-shoes image with food. Pretty much, but really it's about distracting me, not them. Throw some jeans on and a pair of boots. That'll help you fit in. This is about me being comfortable, and I'm comfortable in skirts and dresses. I've got this. You'll see. I'll come by before I head over to the bar. After she ended the call, she noticed her message light was on and scrolled to her text messages. She didn't recognize the number, but when she opened the text and read it, "Here when you need me, B," she realized it was the message Bullet had sent her last night, and lightning ricocheted inside her. She stared at the text, thinking about the way he'd plowed into the bar last night and had dragged them all out of there, no questions asked. Was that the way the Whiskies did things? Or was that just Bullet's way? What if she hadn't been tipsy? Would he have let her stay to find her own way home?
Would I have wanted him to?
She added his name to her contacts, then set about making the cookies. She mixed and kneaded, rolled and cut, creating dozens of motorcycles, leather jackets, and boots. She was excited to see the customers' faces when they tasted her special recipe. Yes, it's the customers I'm hoping love them, not Bullet. Nope, not him.
Yeah, right. I can't even lie to myself.
While the cookies baked, she shopped online for appliances, comparing prices, sizes, and warranties. She called the companies and negotiated discounts for her top three choices, printed out the spec sheets, and put them in a folder alongside the budget she and Dixie had come up with. She and Dixie were meeting again Friday morning to discuss the kitchen renovation. After the cookies cooled, she took her time decorating them, copying pictures from the internet to define the motorcycle parts from the seats and fuel tanks, which she'd had no idea was the big thing in front of the seat, to the spokes on the wheels and fenders. As she studied and copied, she learned the locations of shock absorbers and other mechanical parts, making mental notes to try larger motorcycle cookies so she could include those details.
She used black frosting on the jacket and boot-shaped cookies, added silver zippers to the jackets and soles to the leather boots. She wrote Whiskey Bros, or WBs, on each one, and made a special cookie for Bullet. Then she set them carefully on her pink catering trays, wrapped them up, adding her standard pink ribbons with Finley's printed on them. She changed into a pretty coral-colored dress, and because Penny might be right, she wore her brown leather knee-high boots. She stuffed her folders and her phone into her bag and hoisted it over her shoulder, taking one last look around her living room. Her gaze caught on a yellow sticky note on her calendar. She plucked the calendar from the coffee table, laughing and shaking her head as she read what could only be a note from Bullet, written in red ink and stuck to that coming Friday. "This is when you need me." She vacillated between smiling and stewing nervously all the way to Penny's ice cream shop. When she arrived, she was in a smiling stage. She breezed in the door, the bells chiming overhead, and it took her sister less than 30 seconds to say, "Holy crap! You either got late or you're about to." Penny looked at her watch. "It's 5:30. I'm going with about to get laid." Finley wrinkled her nose. "Do you kiss your mother with that mouth?" She handed her a bag of cookies. "Mom's too far away to kiss, but I do lots of dirty things with my mouth." She stuck out her tongue and wiggled it. Their mother had moved to Montana 2 years ago and had since remarried. "Ew, Pen!" Penny peeked into the bag and inhaled. "Ah, sugary goodness, I am so glad you're back. You run an ice cream store. You can have sugar any time you want." Penny bumped her with her hip and said, "But not cookies made with love by my favorite sister. Now, about getting laid, not happening, I'm just happy, that's all." "Because?" Finley didn't know exactly what Bullet meant by her needing him on Friday, but she knew if she said anything to Penny, she'd push her to explore, so instead she said, "Even though it freaks me out, it's easier knowing that he knows I have thought about him as more than just some pushy guy. You always did love open communication. You get that from Dad. Remember what he used to say when we'd go out and give him vague answers about where we were going? 'How can I keep you safe if I don't know where you're going?' they both said in unison. 'I miss him,' Penny said. 'I think he'd like knowing we're both here in Peaceful Harbor and doing well.' 'He knows.'" Finley hugged her. She'd always believed that her father was watching over them. They'd been close to their parents, and when their mother had moved away, because the memories of their father made it too hard for her in Peaceful Harbor, she and Penny had understood. And when she fell in love with another man, they were happy for her, though neither believed their mother would ever love anyone the way she had their father. He'd been funny, loving, and he worked hard to support their family. He was one of the hardest workers at the power plant. "I've got to go. I have a lot to do today," Finley said and headed for the door. "I have to start menu planning." "Fun, fun. Just make sure there's room on your menu for dessert." Penny winked. As Finley walked out the door, she called after her, "That means sex." Finley spun around, mortified that the woman walking by had heard what her sister had said. "Penelope Ann!" She glared at Penny. Penny thrust her hips forward while pulling her arms back and made a face like she was in the throes of an orgasm. Great. Now she was thinking about Bullet and sex. As she drove toward the bar, she couldn't help wondering what Bullet, who was all power and forward motion, would be like in bed. "He's a bullet train." Her stomach fluttered and her pulse quickened. No, no, no. She tried to think about work, cookies, the cars on the road, anything other than Bullet. But his seductive, demanding eyes plagued her. And now, thanks to Penny, so did the rest of his body. "I want to see you without your shirt on. I know I want to see you naked." Shivers tickled up her spine. "This cannot be happening." Bullet's raspy voice slithered through her mind. "Don't fight it, Finley. You know you want to take me for a ride." She shoved her hand beneath the wrapping that covered the cookies, grabbed one of the motorcycle cookies, and shoved it into her mouth. 300 pounds? Here I come. Bullet slid a glass of beer across the bar to Lance Crow Burke, one of the Dark Knights. His family owned Mid-Harbor Housing Supply and Renovation, and Bullet had known him since they were kids. He had pitch-black hair and angular features, almost too angular like a model, hence his road name, Crow. Asking him to come in and talk had been a double-edged sword for Bullet, as Crow had a reputation for being a womanizer and he'd always had a thing for Dixie. Both Dixie and their mother, Red, were waitressing tonight, which Crow was enjoying far too much.
"About that project I mentioned," Bullet said to get his attention off his sister. He'd hoped Finley would show up at some point, but either he'd pissed her off or she was sleeping off a hangover because he hadn't heard a peep from her. But that didn't stop him from thinking about her every damn minute of the day.
"The kitchen, right?"
He took a swig of his beer.
"Dixie mentioned it a few weeks ago."
He glanced over his shoulder at Dixie again, then turned back to Bullet.
"She said y'all are doing some renovations in the kitchen, but she wasn't sure what you'd need. She also said not to do anything unless I spoke to her."
"She's busy," Bullet said. He had agreed to let Dixie manage the renovations, hiring, the whole shebang, but after seeing Finley measuring and moving so quickly, he wanted to make sure things got done without holding up her plans.
"Still, Bullet, you're a force to be reckoned with, but that one?"
He glanced at Dixie again and whistled.
"I'm not dumb enough to go against the fire in her belly."
Bullet flattened both hands on top of the bar and leaned across it, bringing them eye to eye.
"Don't think about her body parts. Got it?"
Crow laughed and took another drink. Dixie stalked over to the bar.
"B, I need 2 whiskey sours, 1 Heine, and 1 Coors."
She set her hand on her hip, and her features softened as she faced Crow.
"Hey there. Have you given any thought to the renovations I mentioned?"
Crow's appreciative smile practically slapped Bullet in the face.
"You know I always give thought to your propositions."
Dixie rolled her eyes.
"Cut it out, Crow," Bullet warned.
Crow pulled something out of his back pocket and handed it to Dixie.
"It's all there, babe, everything you asked for, prices, timelines."
As he lifted the beer to his lips, he eyed Bullet, as if to say,
"Calm down, I'm riding a fine line, and you have no reason to pound the shit out of me."
Bullet leveled the smirk on his face with a dark stare before turning his attention to filling Dixie's drink order. He wanted to see that damn list, but the truth was this was Dixie's area to manage. He didn't need to piss her off any more than he already had.
"Jesus, you two, cut the shit,"
Dixie said, and stalked off to help another customer. It was a constant job keeping his family safe, but it was one Bullet was good at, even if it ruffled their feathers. He couldn't do anything about the way Dixie dressed in skinny jeans, Daisy Dukes, miniskirts, half or tight shirts, and boots, all the things guys got off on, but he could yank the men's leashes when they needed reining in. He filled several drink orders, talked with his usual customers, and shot the shit with Crow, all the while keeping one eye on the front door in case Finley showed up.
"I hear Penny's sister is helping y'all get the kitchen up and running," Crow said. "What's she like?"
As if beckoned by the stars, Finley backed into the bar in one of her sexy short dresses, carrying some sort of tray in each arm and with a big bag over her shoulder.
"Who is that?"
Crow's gaze flamed as he drank her in.
"Eyes back in your head. It's Finley."
Bullet came out from behind the bar as she practically twirled, her dress whisking around her thighs. She almost ran right into him. He grabbed the trays to keep them from falling out of her hands.
Every eye in the friggin' place was watching her, including his.
"Whoa!"
She smiled up at Bullet.
"Sorry, I didn't see you there."
Her eyes sparkled with happiness, and he felt himself falling into them. He focused on the trays to keep from making a fool of himself.
"What's all this?"
"Cookies,"
she said cheerfully as she walked around him and took a tray from his hands. She set it on the bar, then turned back for the other, setting it beside the first. She plopped her bag on a bar stool beside Crow and began taking things out of it, pink napkins and plates that read Finley's in swirly white letters, and at least a dozen tiny pink notepads with the same logo at the top.
"What's going on, Lollipop?"
Bullet asked as she untied a pink ribbon from around one of the trays. She stepped in close, surprising him, and motioned for him to lean down. The scent of warm vanilla and sugar seeped beneath his skin, and it wasn't from the cookies.
I know I need to feel comfortable here, and I also need to get to know your customer base so I can figure out the best menus for them. Cookies are a great icebreaker.
She grabbed something wrapped in pink tissue paper from a tray and handed it to him.
This one is yours. I hope you love it. But if you don't, it's okay. I have thick skin.
She spun on her sexy-as-sin boot heels and walked around to each table, delivering her goodies. There was nothing thick about Finley Wilson. The muscles in Bullet's neck knotted up as she flitted from table to table, smiling and chatting, touching the arms and shoulders of each customer as she leaned in close to catch every word they said. The men ate up her attention. The quiet ones became motor mouths, the dicks shamefully leered, and she made fast friends with the women. His fingers curled into fists, stopping short of crushing the gift she'd given him. He didn't have time for gifts. He needed to draw some very dark lines in the sand. Fuck, he needed a goddamn backhoe. He strode across the floor, eyes locked on Finley. His Finley. Yeah, he might not have the right to claim her, but he didn't care. In his mind, she was already his, whether she knew it or not. He stepped around a table, and red came out of nowhere, blocking his path. Standing before him in a black Whiskey Bros shirt, black jeans, and a smile that said, "I love you, but..." She wrapped her hand around his arm and said, "Come on, sweetheart." His mother never called them by their road names. While she'd chased after four wild kids, it had probably been easier to call them the endearments that still rolled off her tongue so easily. Sweetheart, babe, honey. On the rare occasions when she used their given names, she meant business. She took a step toward the bar, but Bullet's boots were rooted to the floor. His gaze darted to Finley, who was now standing by the pool tables, talking with two guys while holding out a paper plate with cookies on it. Fucking cookies. His mother sighed, worry settling in her eyes as she patted his arm.
Brandon Whiskey, trust me on this. You do not want to do what you're dead set on doing.
Red, he said, knowing when his mother set her mind on something, like the rest of them, there was no dissuading her. They'd called her Red since they were kids when Bear had heard her friends calling her by her name, Wren, and thought they'd said Red. The name had stuck.
Come with me, babe, let's have a little chat.
He tried to clear his throat, but it came out as a growl, and she laughed.
Well, this is new.
She guided him away from the tables, but he kept his eyes trained on Finley.
Eyes down here, baby boy.
He met her amused gaze.
I thought your brothers were crazy when they said you had a thing for Finley at Drew and Gemma's wedding. Clearly I was slow on the uptake.
Your point?
My point is...
She lifted his hand, holding the tissue paper-wrapped gift from Finley.
That sweet little thing over there is not a biker girl. You can't bully your way into her heart, or scare away every man who looks at her with the hopes that she'll only see you.
I can try. He was only half kidding.
Yes, and you'll push her away faster than you can grovel to get her back.
He stroked his beard, mulling over what she was saying and hating every word of it. I'm not walking away from her.
Did I say you should?
She arched a slim red brow.
I'm not sure you could if you wanted to. I've waited forever to see that fire in your eyes.
You always say I was born with fire in my eyes.
And you were. The fire you were born with made you the man you are.
She glanced at Finley, and then his mother's green eyes found him again.
But this fire will make you the man you're supposed to be.
She paused as if she wanted her words to sink in. Which they did, all the way to his bones. She smiled and said,
"Don't go after your sweetheart with your brawn, baby. Go after her with your heart. That's the biggest and best thing that sets you apart from every other tough guy out there."
He watched her stroll away to help another customer, and he wondered why women had to talk in riddles. What the hell did it mean to go after her with his heart? He glanced at Finley, who was reaching across the table, which gave him a perfect view of her ass. His cock twitched.
Calm the hell down. You're not my fucking heart.
As he went behind the bar, Jed showed up for his shift and snagged a cookie.
These are awesome!
Jed wiped his forearm across his mouth. His thick blonde hair flopped over his eyes. It was hard to put him and Crystal together as siblings with her jet black hair. Jed had a history of theft, but Bullet had recently learned about Jed and Crystal's painful past, which had led Jed to do what he'd had to in order to help his family, and had led to Crystal's total transformation. Bullet became aware of the gift in his right hand again.
"You can take off tonight."
"No, man, I'm supposed to work, and it's busy."
"Schedule change. I need you to work Friday night. That cool?"
"Please fucking say it's cool."
"Seriously? I told you I'd work whenever you needed me. I can stay tonight, too, if you want me to."
"Nah, go have some fun. Just stay out of trouble. And thanks for Friday."
Jed pulled on his leather jacket and patted Bullet's shoulder. "Thanks for tonight. Now I can meet up with Quincy and head down to a bonfire on the beach." He snagged another cookie from the near-empty tray on his way out. Quincy was Truman's younger brother and Jed's roommate. He'd also had a shitty upbringing. Unfortunately, he'd followed in his mother's footsteps down a drug-infested path. But he was clean now and on a safe and healthy track, and Bullet would do everything within his power to make sure he stayed that way. There was an influx of drink orders after Jed left. Bullet set the tissue-paper-wrapped gift on the counter behind him and tended to customers. Finley was still on her cookie-inspired mission, moving from patron to patron. But now she was passing out little notepads and tiny pink pencils, asking people to write down their favorite bar foods. She set a bowl in the middle of each table for the customers to put their suggestions in. She'd gone from a deer in the headlights to driving the truck in the blink of an eye. Her confidence and determination were as big a turn-on as her innocence and beauty. As soon as there was a break in orders, Bullet turned his back to the bar and unwrapped the tissue paper, unveiling a cookie that looked a hell of a lot like him, from his beard and tattoos right down to his black leather boots. While all the other cookies had Whiskey Bros or WB scrawled across them, his cookie read, "Bullet Train."
Chapter 5. The next morning, Finley let herself into Whiskey Bros. The bar didn't open for a few hours, and she knew she'd have time alone to go through the customers' suggestions from last night, before her meeting with Dixie to go over the appliances. She could hardly believe she'd pulled off getting to know so many customers without being a nervous wreck. But Bullet had taken care of that when she'd walked in the door and nearly slammed into him. After blurting out all the secret thoughts she'd been having about him, she'd been most nervous about facing him. And for whatever reason, after she'd nearly bowled him over when she'd arrived, he'd kept his distance for the rest of the evening. When she'd gathered her things to leave for the night, he'd been tied up with customers, and she'd slipped out the front door without a confrontation. Now, as she sat at the bar, sifting through customer menu suggestions, her mind traveled back to the night Bullet had carried her into her bedroom. He'd never answered her questions about why he was so gruff or why he'd come to get them. Dixie had told her that after dropping all of them off Wednesday night, Bullet had picked up Bear and taken him to get Crystal's car. She found it curious that he was always willing to drop what he was doing for his family. Didn't he have a social life? She'd assumed he was out on his bike at all hours, picking up women and doing Lord only knew what. But he'd been stone-cold sober every time she'd seen him, including when she'd met him at the wedding, which was more than she could say for herself in the last 48 hours. She unfolded a piece of notepaper and read another customer suggestion. More cookies and buffalo wings. She smiled, pleased at the response. There were several more requests for cookies, along with sandwiches, burgers, salads, which surprised her, and a host of other easy-to-make dishes. She wondered what Bullet had thought of his cookie. Did he notice that it was different from the rest? Did he care? She thought of the note he'd left stuck to today's date on the calendar. "This is when you need me." What did that mean? What do I want it to mean?
She wasn't ready to answer that question, so she pushed it aside and made her way through more than 100 suggestions. When Bullet walked through the kitchen door, she was so deep in concentration she was startled, knocking a handful of the notepapers onto the floor. Her hand flew to her chest as if that might calm her racing heart.
"Geez, Bullet, you scared me. How'd you get in the kitchen without me seeing you walk by?"
He wasn't wearing his leather vest, and he looked even more commanding without it. His faded black T-shirt stretched tight across his body, defining each and every muscle in his torso. There was a tear on his left shoulder, and the edges of the sleeves were frayed. On anyone else it might look ratty, but on Bullet it looked right. His dark jeans were faded and nearly worn through in the thighs, like a favorite old pair, and his scuffed black leather boots made him look edgy and hot. "Back door," he said, pulling her from her secret inspection. In 3 long strides he was standing beside her, his heady stare making her heart beat even harder. "What's that look for?" she asked. His eyes twitched, but he didn't say a word, just scanned her notebook where she had written down the menu suggestions, looked at her bag and her other items spread out along the bar, and then glanced down at the notes littering the floor. When his gaze landed on her again, he looked deeply into her eyes, as if he was searching for something. The intensity of his stare made it hard for her to breathe. "Do you remember what happened 2 nights ago?" he asked. It would be so easy to say she didn't remember, but no part of her wanted to lie to him. "Of course. I told you I wasn't drunk." She set down the pen she was holding and crossed her arms, kneading the barrier between them, because the longer he stared at her, the more intrigued she became.
"Everything?"
He set one hand on the bar, the other on the arm of the stool, caging her in.
"Loose lips sink ships."
Holding his gaze, she said, "There is no ship to sink. I remember every word."
"Then we're both on the same page,"
he said in a low, gravelly voice. An after-sex voice. She swallowed hard, remembering the last thing he'd said to her Wednesday night.
"For the record, I want to see you naked, too."
"You know you want to go out with me, Finley." He slid his hand along her back, and heck if her body didn't heat right up like she'd been torched.
"Don't fight it, Lollipop. Tonight's our night."
Her head spun with thoughts, desires, worries. She pushed from the stool to her feet, needing the distraction of pacing, but he blocked her path, towering over her. His closeness made her knees weak. His features softened, and just when she began to catch her breath, she remembered how his entire demeanor had changed in an instant when he'd held her after she'd come face to face with Tinkerbell.
"I've got you, Lollipop."
So much for catching her breath.
"Do you want to go out with me, Finley, or are you playing some sort of game?"
"I don't know," she said honestly, throwing her hands up, frustrated with her own confusion. "Yes, wait, no. Yes." He cocked his head with a perplexed expression. "I'm sorry, I'm really confused. You mess with my head. Or rather, you've been messing with my head since the wedding. But that's not your fault, and now I'm rambling, but I want to be honest with you. The truth is, I'm curious about you. Maybe more than curious," she said, moving around him so she could pace. "But I don't know what you expect from women, and I don't know anything about your biker lifestyle. I don't think I'm a biker girl, but I don't really know that. I do know I'm probably not like the women you're used to, and motorcycles scare me. And sometimes you scare me. Not you, but the idea of you, because I'm not sure who you really are. But you also turn me on, which makes it all even more confusing." A slow grin spread across his face. "See? That smile makes my stomach go all sorts of crazy."
"Call me nuts, but I think that's a good thing, Finns."
The endearment also made her insides flutter. But none of that came close to the worries welling up inside her right that second, as the big, confident caretaker to all around him stood looking at her like he was hanging on her every word, and the truth came tumbling out. "I haven't been with a lot of guys, and like I said, I don't know what you expect. You're all power and..." She tried to use her hands to emphasize her thoughts, but she ended up looking like she was imitating a bear with claws extended. Sexuality. Like you're ready to swoop in and devour me. But I'm not sure I can handle being devoured, because it's been so long since I've even kissed a guy that I might have... He stepped closer.